There are clearly connections between the gospel reading and the passage from the Hebrews and the one from Jeremiah. Jeremiah actually mentions blindness, and the Hebrews talks about human weakness. But rather than try to flesh out those connections, I'd like to just concentrate on the gospel reading itself. Because the figure of Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, looms extraordinarily largely in the sermons of the early church preachers. And the reason is pretty clear, as these people articulate themselves. They see the condition of the blind beggar as simply the human condition as such. In other words, we are all blind beggars seeking in our need to be able to see. Whether it's the Pope, the bishops, everybody stands in that condition. That is essentially who we are. We're not clearly, as those early preachers had it, talking about physical blindness when they emphasized the centrality of this figure in trying to understand human life. Rather, how do we know we are blind? And blind in what way? Well, the two questions are interrelated. We know we are blind because we have caught some glimpse of Jesus and who he was, this man for all others, and how he was. And then with that kind of awareness, the self-consciousness that arises from that is that I am blind. I don't see the world the way this man sees the world. I therefore consequently do not act in the world the way this man acted in the world. And so I stand within my own humanity aware of my neediness for that kind of way of seeing, way of acting. And I stand seeking that sort of vision above all things. This is, I think, the reason that this figure so caught the imaginations of these early writers and speakers was that they were painfully aware, profoundly aware, that the central mission of the Jesus movement was holiness. Holiness. And holiness is to be measured by this man, this paradigmatic figure. And in the light of him, I see my own mediocrity, half-heartedness, unwillingness to give all, to really follow like the rich young man, "Oh, teacher, I've done all these things, but..." And so that the initial and primal urgency of life is to acknowledge that need and to seek God's help in being transformed. It is holiness that is crucial. It is holiness that the work of the church is supposed to produce. Not orthodoxy, not good behavior, not obedience, but holiness. We keep somehow losing sight of that, I believe. I do with great regularity. If the church does not produce saints, the church is a waste of time. And it's only because the church has produced saints that the church has any credibility at all, or any validity at all. The great French writer Léon Boix put it very nicely. He said, there's really only one great sadness. Only one great sadness, that we are not saints. That we are not holy. We seem, all of us in the church, to be waylaid by secondary or tertiary concerns. We seem to be blind to, in another sense, to Jesus' injunction to seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will fall into place. Holiness is what it's all about, or it's about nothing. It's not about prestige or power or pomp or position. It's this poor man of Nazareth whose life puts us all to shame, I believe. And it is awareness, that very shame, that is the blindness that moves us to want to see. That's why they so love the figure of Bartimaeus. The centrality of that. In a few weeks, we will hear, it seems to me, the pivotal reading of the whole church here that lays this out more clearly than any place else I know in the entire body of Scripture. And that's the judgment scene in Matthew. That astonishing text. I was hungry and you fed me. I was in jail. You visited me. I was naked. You clothed me. I was a stranger. You took me in. And the wonderful response is, when did we do all that? That's the essence of holiness. That's the essence of holiness. And prayer, and almsgiving, and fasting, and orthodoxy, and rules, and structures, if they do not conduce to that, they're worse than misleading. They're positively wrong. If that image is not their concept, if that's not who we are, essentially. And that's why I firmly believe, when you look at the papacy of the past 100 years, it's John the 23rd, who is the mountainous figure. You can say that John Paul was charismatic. Benedict is highly orthodox. Pius XII seemed to be able to talk about anything under the sun. But my abiding memory of this little fat Italian man, but his universal availability, totally unself-regarding, not mystified by his own position, somehow he managed to outstrip all those things that hold us back, that offer us substitutes for holiness, ersatz, and simply did it. So, blind beggars, awareness of our inadequacy, and seeking above all to be able to see as Jesus saw. See the world as this man saw it, and to act in the world as this man acted.